Hello, and welcome to the DDD podcast. Lenny said he'd be here at 6:51, so I signed in early. But since he's not here, you can hear me programming my next load. I guess I'll play some music. Actually, we're talking about guns today, so let's start out with Charlie Smith's "Are Guns to Blame?" And I'll probably just upload that as a secondary thing. Let's see here, Freedom Fighter profiles or file. Charlie Smith, "Are Guns to Blame?"
He saw Tasha at the Dollar General while I was buying juice. We could have something to drink while we did the pizza.
Ah.
So
he ran off with another woman.
What was he out there?
I'm talking to him right now.
Oh. Are you going to eat or not?
I don't mind eating, but I'm on the podcast already.
Well, I don't know.
All right, talk to you later.
Ah, crap.
And that's probably how I drew him off.
Why?
He wants to go inside and eat. And I don't want to take a phone conversation where they're only going to hear our side of the conversation into a public space where, yeah, I don't know. It's just rude.
Yeah.
It's rude when you talk loud on your cell phone in a public space.
And, how rude is that?
And that's the definition of a pocket.
That's the definition of what?
Joe does not have a clue. He's trying to tell me that there's lots of quiet space in there, and it's like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
That's okay.
So who's our other expert?
Yeah, Lenny's going to be calling in.
All right. That's cool. Did Lenny say how long before he calls in, or?
Well, he said he was going to call in at 6:51. That's the reason I called in early.
Ah, and you've been sitting here waiting for me to show up, and I was 4 minutes late, as usual.
You were actually 4 minutes early.
Was I?
Yeah.
Holy smokes, I went by the wrong clock again. Well, good. The wrong clock is making me good.
So the subject today is
going to make every excuse you can for why we need to go inside, and I'm not going to go into a public forum and do a cell phone talk. Huh? I'm not going to go into a public place and do a cell phone talk.
They got this whole place over here. Ain't nobody in here. They got this whole section over here.
Okay.
They own all this. And...
Hello, welcome to the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons.
This is your worst nightmare. How you doing, Kano? It's Lenny.
Hello, how's it going?
I don't know. How do I sound? Because I'm going down the road in Alabama at 70 miles an hour.
Sounds just fine and dandy.
Well, I'm going up the sill at 52. Hey, how you doing? Long time no hear.
I'm doing okay.
They're having a debate on whether or not to have the phone conversation in a restaurant.
I don't know. Where are you guys?
I have no idea where I am. I'm not looking at where I'm at right now. I'm actually loading my loading permission.
I don't see it.
I'm in North Baltimore, Ohio.
Oh, you're at Petro.
Sorry, I don't know where it is.
Loves, but yeah, next door.
It's a good place.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, today's topic is guns.
Guns, guns, and guns.
Guns, guns, and guns.
I'm a gun new.
Well, there's many different topics to talk about in this topic. Lenny will talk about what he wants to talk about. And I also wanted to address educating the public on what they should carry. You know, it's my understanding that basically, ideally, we want something that's low maintenance and something that's universal. You know, like, for example, a 22, the bullets are universal between the pistol and the rifle. And I'm sure there's other bullets that are compatible to both pistols and rifles where you can use them interchangeably. And also, something that's low maintenance, you know, because the average Joe doesn't have time to sit around and clean their guns, you know, five times a day or once a day or whatever the case may be, and go and make sure all the mechanisms work and all that stuff. Because I know I don't. And I don't want a gun that's going to be jamming up on me all the time and having issues whenever I need it the most, you know what I mean?
Well, I would guess, then, you need to learn to clean your gun anyway.
Well, of course.
That's probably something you're not going to be able to get around. Even if they say the gun doesn't need it.
You have to clean your gun. That's a given. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, like, say, for example, a Glock. A Glock has a lot of mechanisms and, you know, can seize up on you when you need it. Because you got to know all these little hair triggers and all these little gizmos and doodads inside of it you know, like an automatic. The more automatic it is, the more doodads it has, and the more complicated it is, and the more chances of it not working when you need it.
It makes sense to me.
Right. So, we'll let Lenny start.
Well, if I'm going to talk about guns, I'm going to talk about the Second Amendment. Let me introduce myself. Lenny Ladner. I'm an independent candidate for the United States House of Representatives in Tennessee's 7th Congressional District. I consider myself the only candidate in Tennessee with a working knowledge of the Second Amendment or who's pro-Second Amendment. So I want to throw this out. Why was the United States Bill of Rights written? Why was it written? Anybody?
Well, it was to protect our God-given rights and also to protect us from a tyrannical government.
The Constitution was written to protect the citizens from the government and from abuse by the government. This is thou shalt not. Thou shalt not have a state religion. Thou shalt not infringe on freedom of speech. Thou shalt not infringe on my right to have firearms. Thou shalt not quarter troops in a private house. Thou shalt not go into a citizen's house without a warrant. Thou shalt not allow the government to force a citizen to testify against themselves, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a bill of prohibitions. This is what the government
right.
is not allowed to do, and it's to protect the citizens from the government. Now, the Second Amendment was written so that a citizen could protect himself from the government. And if one looks at the Second Amendment that way, it's crystal clear what they're trying to do. They're trying to disarm us so that they could put us into a dictatorship. An armed society can deal with a corrupt, tyrannical government. A disarmed society and an armed, corrupt, tyrannical government is a recipe for slavery.
Right. It's kind of like what Charlie said in one of his speeches. About, he says, you think the Jews would have walked into the oven like a bunch of gingerbread men?
That's right. Good. You remember that.
Yeah.
And I was just talking to a friend of mine in Texas about Second Amendment and everything, and Shelly's a good old boy from Texas. That's all. And I said, you know, one time Charlie was on a talk show, and he was in the studio, and there was a lady that was debating him. And this lady was ACLU, Mensa, Pilgrim Society, and she was for gun control. So Charlie let her talk and talk and talk. And then he asked her a simple question. Real simple question. Ms. Schlockmeister, if we handed in our guns to the government piecemeal or all at once, what's to protect us from the government? There was not another sound.
Right.
When you shut these liberals up or these communists up, the sound is deafening. It is extremely deafening. I'm in favor of a citizen being able to own whatever they want, have as much ammo as they want, and carry it, transport it, as they see fit. If you're going to carry, you better not have an accident.
Right.
You better have it properly holstered. You better have it on safety. If you don't know what you're doing, there are enough people in your community that will show you. If you have an accident with a gun and nobody's hurt, an accident means you're carrying a loaded automatic in your pocket with the hammer back and one in the snout, and it drops. It's going to go off. And that's what happened to NFL great Plaxico Burress. He should have been forced to wear a sandwich sign in front of City Hall. I am stupid. Thank God nobody was hurt. He was hurt. Nobody else was hurt. Okay? There should be no restrictions on how you carry it, transport it, carry it in your vehicle, etc. Hopefully, you never have to use it. So, the Second Amendment is not about hunting, sportsmanship, target shooting. It's about protecting yourself from a tyrannical government. And, you know, you were discussing what to carry. Whatever you carry, whether it's an automatic, you know, a 1911 style pistol or revolver, you should have some training on it. You should know how to carry it. You should know how to holster it, how to take it out of the holster. And none of this cross-draw cowboy stuff, please. I saw a guy in my county with that, and I said, it looks good, but, you know, it's not the way I would go. I think somebody does not have the experience or doesn't want to get the experience. A revolver is the best thing. 30 caliber, 38 revolver, 357. Snub nose, a Smith & Wesson Ladysmith design, it's five shot, extremely concealable. If you know what you're doing, that opens up a lot of options. 1911, 45, 40. I wouldn't want a 9mm in a gunfight. That's me. If you got small hands, you may be stuck with a 380 or a 25.
Right on. I know a lot of people talk about having a Glock. What's the problem, pros and cons with Glocks?
They're expensive. They're good guns. But, you know, it's like having a Chevy versus a Jaguar. The Jaguar is going to be a lot more finicky with fuel. The Glock is going to be a lot more finicky with ammunition.
Right.
And if you're going to carry a handgun, you better know what kind of ammunition it likes. I'm a blue collar guy. I'm a steak and potatoes guy. I like Springfield Arms. They're reliable. Nothing fancy. I'm not a competition shooter. Les Bear's great. You want to spend $3,000 for a 45 ACP? It's your business. If you're a competition shooter, I'd say, yeah, just an ordinary guy. Springfield Arms, Taurus, Ruger. I don't know about Ruger anymore.
Ruger?
Not after...
What's a Ruger?
Ruger, R-U-G-E-R, William Ruger. I don't know. In a way, he was one of the first gun manufacturers to compromise with Bill Clinton and the magazine ban. Clinton wanted to limit magazines to 10 rounds or less. And if I remember correctly, my friend Aaron Zellman really came down on him back in the day. But, you know, Ruger makes a good weapon. R-U-G-E-R, not to be confused with Luger, which is something else.
Okay, that's what I think I was thinking was the Luger.
No, Ruger, R-U-G-E-R, William Ruger and Sons, Strum Ruger and Sons. But I would prefer to carry a blue collar, a steak and potatoes weapon versus...
Steak and potatoes.
Yeah, versus high-end, filet mignon. I mean, Glock's good. It's just, you know, they're finicky. And anybody with a Glock will tell you. They'll give you 100 reasons why you should have one. And, you know, I never had a problem with Springfield Arms. Never.
Springfield Arms. All right, I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah, they manufacture on government contracts. They're from Springfield, Massachusetts originally. I think they got a plant near Nashville now.
Okay, I heard that. Go ahead.
At one time, I used to be very, very big on what was going on in the gun industry. I would read shotgun news every week. I don't have the time. I don't even go to their website.
Yeah, our other caller that was gonna call in or whatever, he's big on all the latest doodads and whatnots as far as the guns go. So he was hoping he would call in, but I guess he's not gonna call in now.
There's nothing wrong with the doodads, but the more doodads, you know, it's like a truck. If you had a '60s technology diesel truck. Outside of the double stick transmission, which is a pain, how much technology do you really need?
Right. Less is more.
Oh, don't get me started with that. I mean, if you want me to tell you why I got less is more on the side of my truck,
we can do that.
And if you want to see what this thing looks like, run my name through a search engine, Lenny, L-E-N-N-Y, Ladner, or just go to voteforlenny.com, and the four is the number four. Less is more was a saying in George Orwell's book, 1984. And essentially what's going on in reality, you got two politicians debating about a spending bill. You got the Liberal Democrat wanting to increase funding for an agency by $10 billion. You then have a conservative Republican, start screaming about we don't have the money for this, blah, 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 blah. And I wouldn't give you $1 billion for that increase. The Liberal Democrat and the Conservative Republican agree on an increase of $2.5 billion. The Democrat is crying because their agency got less than they wanted. And, of course, the public is in harm's way because the agency only got 25% of what it wanted. And then the Republican is beating his breast telling the American people what he saved them from. You just had an agency increase by $2.5 billion. An increase is an increase. And when these so-called conservative Republicans, I'm not going to start naming names. It's a scam. The whole thing is a scam. If I would have been there, I'd vote no on that because I increased the size, the cost, the reach, power to government, period, understatement.
Scrap.
Simple idea. If it increases the size, the cost, the reach, power to government, scrap it.
Okay. So, yeah, I remember Obama. I saw a deal where he was standing on stage and he says, you know, he was arguing the Second Amendment. He's like, you know, people say, well, I need my guns to protect me from the government. And he's like, well, that's us. You know, you're elected officials. Like, you know, like he's clueless as to why we need to protect ourselves from him.
He knows what's going on. And the people behind Obama know exactly why they want to take the guns. And in a conversation I had with Charlie Smith a couple of weeks ago, he said, chances are the next step is going to be to pass a law very quietly that if you don't register your weapons, you're a felon. Now, I got into it with my idiot cousin's husband, my idiot cousin in New York City. Her husband called me. I don't like this guy. And he's telling me the Second Amendment doesn't mean what you think it means. Oh, yes, it does. Think about it. We got the guns. We're not giving them up. That's it.
Right. So do you think they'll end up taking our guns, or do you think we'll have a war first?
Oh, it's hard to tell with a lot of these people.
In my opinion, what they're going to do is they're going to have more states pass some kind of draconian restrictions on firearms. And a state can do whatever it wants. The federal government cannot. But once the good people in a state like Maryland or California sue on this and sue on the federal level, they'll give the federal government jurisdiction. That's what we don't want. So in other words, if Governor Moonbeam, who should have been removed from office a long time ago, that's Jerry Brown, if Governor Moonbeam gets an anti-gun law passed in California, only affects California, don't affect Tennessee. There are some crazy people out there. What a lot of people don't realize is you have several non-governmental organizations that are think tanks, RAND Corporation, Aspen Institute, Violence Policy Institute, Southern Poverty Law Center. They're getting money from the government to write bills to introduce to the various states. And this was exposed in the late 50s by Josephine Hindeman, and it's stopped for a long time. Whenever something is introduced in a state, the member of the state legislature that introduced it should be bombarded with emails and letters, did you write that bill? They didn't. But once these people know that the public knows what's going on, the jig is up.
Somebody signed in and then signed out.
Well.
Yeah.
Let me say one thing. Hey, Firecracker, how do I sound? She's listening on Facebook. By the way, yesterday was a birthday. Happy birthday, Firecracker.
Yeah, happy birthday. Oh, I guess David Ray signed out, or his battery probably died. yeah, what I don't understand is why we allow them to take our money and use our money to campaign against us.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had it on mute because we were discussing where to park and such.
No problem. Yeah, what I don't understand is, you know, why we allow them to take our money and use our money to campaign against us to take away our rights and our liberties. And force us to pay for them to take away our rights and liberties.
One thing Charlie Smith taught me, and I've been saying this since 2008 when I started campaigning, you have these groups that are called non-governmental organizations. There are millions of them. Now, some of these non-governmental organizations actually do good things. The vast majority don't. Okay?
Right.
Groups like the Sierra Club, Planned Parenthood, Violence Policy Center. Now, Sarah Brady's dead. I don't know what they call her her organization today. But essentially, these groups get money from the government to write reports, to write bills, to lobby. And my proposal has always been, you put up a bill in Congress, House of Representatives, and if I'm elected, I'm going to put this bill up. I'm going to write it. I've already written it. It essentially bars the federal government from giving taxpayer money to any of these non-governmental organizations. Now, if you're a non-governmental organization, Planned Parenthood, and you want to lobby for what you do, you shouldn't have any problem raising the money from the public. It's called freedom of speech. Right. But I don't see why I should give you any of my money. I'm pro-life. I don't see why I should give Violence Policy Center, who wants to take away my Second Amendment, and it's always reasonable gun control. There is no reasonable gun control. I don't see why I should give them any money, all right? This bill is going to stop these people in their tracks. And, you know, 2010 when the Republicans got control of the United States House of Representatives, the Planned Parenthood, the head of Planned Parenthood, said they were going to lose $40 million. They're getting closer to $600 million from the federal government. It's our money. You want to write them a check, I think you should. See what I'm saying? But
right.
These people are slick, and they think that they could cover up a lie for a long time. Word is getting out, and just in talking to people on the road, they are a lot more receptive to what I'm saying today than what I said in 2008. And this is not about getting me elected. This is about getting an army of people to run for office, whether it's United States House of Representatives, state legislature, county commission, city council. You don't need to know nothing. You just need to ask a question about every bill being proposed. You don't even need to read the bill, as a matter of fact. If this passes, will it increase the size, the cost, extend the reach, or the power to government, and vote no? If any of those conditions are met, vote no.
That's it.
So, very simple deal. I hope we get a whole bunch of people to run in 2018. I hope we can get a certain computer guru in the state of Tennessee to run for governor or Senate under this kind of a program. I don't know if he's going to do it.
Right. So we can run for any office, any government office. You know, just
as
Congress.
As long as it's a legislative office,
right.
United States House of Representatives, every member of Congress, every member of the House of Representatives has four votes. I'm going to go backwards. You got to vote on the floor in the House of Representatives of a bill that they're trying to get passed. You're on a committee. You got to vote in that committee because bills have to go through a process. Every committee is subcommittees. You're on several subcommittees.
This service provided by freeconferencing.com.
What'd you do?
What did
you
say
about that?
And every one of these subcommittees have various caucuses. That's where the bureaucrats come in with the bills that have been written by their agency that they want money for. $12 million here, $15 million here. What if we had a couple of guys in Congress that stopped all of those bills in the caucuses from going through? They wouldn't make it to subcommittee. They wouldn't make it to committee. They wouldn't make it to the floor. That's a lot less government right there.
That's it.
States work the same way. County commission, city council, it's a yes or a no vote. You don't have the ability to read these bills. You wouldn't understand what these bills say. And even if you had something like audit the Fed, good idea. The way that bill is written, ain't going to get nothing done.
Right.
Sorry, Dr. Paul. Ain't going to get done what you need to get done. We need to stop the growth in government and then roll it back in exactly the same fashion it was expanded. Anybody could do this.
Cano for council.
Not a bad idea. The next question is, how do you get on a ballot in your state?
Right. Yeah, when I get out the road, I'll be done paying child support in about 2 years, thinking about getting a local job and running for city council.
I convinced a young man, good guy, Joey Danziger, to run for city council in Clarksville. Just adopt that idea. You cannot go wrong with a no vote.
Right.
Can't.
Hello, and welcome to the DD&D podcast, demented DungeonsandDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons.
That's good.
Yeah.
This is Joe.
Joe Mama is in the house.
Yeah, he's sitting next to me in the truck.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, you good.
So, Lenny, back to what kind of guns we should carry. I remember you telling me that three guns that we should have, and that was the shotgun and what else?
Okay. many years ago, we had an extremely sad event in this country. And if the Waco incident didn't wake up people, I don't know what it's going to take. But I had the pleasure of meeting a fine lady. Her name's Linda Thompson. Made a movie called Waco the Big Lie. And she made another movie. It's on YouTube. And she had a rule that there were three guns everybody should own. One, a military-style shotgun, which is a pump-action shotgun, 7 to 9 rounds, can take rifled slugs, pistol grip, the whole bit. Two, a military-style handgun, which would be an automatic, you know, AC automatic pistol, either a 9, 40, or 45. And then the third, I don't believe in mandatory, but the third gun was a military-style rifle. Don't tell me the traffic is going to stop, please. I'm hungry. In either 223, 224, 7.62 by 39, 308 at 30-06. 30-06 to me is a dinosaur. But if you got access to an M1 in good condition, I'd grab it. Period.
Yeah, I don't know.
Military-style rifle.
Go what?
Military-style handgun, a military-style rifle, and military-style shotgun. You don't need a 40-caliber elephant gun. A 275 Weatherby is a fine rifle. That's not a military-style gun. So that's recommended. 30-30 is a good weapon, but again, we're talking about a self-loading rifle.
Right. And you're suggesting something with a clip.
Magazine.
Or a magazine, yeah.
A magazine is a box that you put ammunition into. You slide it to the bottom of the receiver. A clip or a stripper clip is something that goes into a breech-loaded rifle from the top, M1, an original SKS, et cetera.
I still got a lot to learn.
These 300 Blackouts are getting real popular.
Do what?
These 300 Blackouts are getting real popular.
300
This should be called a 300 Whisper.
It's oh,
a
300
okay. Blackout. Takes the same magazine clip, 30-shot magazine clip as an AR-15 with the 5.56.
Yeah.
What caliber round does it take?
Shoots a 30 caliber round. Factory loaded ammo is 110 grain up to 240, and then makes some 240 hollow points that you can hand load.
Is it a 223 round?
It's a 223 round.
A lot of 30 caliber rounds.
They chop it down and then shrink it to a 30 caliber from the neck. It's just a hair shorter, but the brass still goes in the clip of a 5.56 or 223 banana clip. And the military is supposedly using a lot of them now.
Well, my whole thing is...
I think they're shooting 110 grain bullets there, so... Which is way more energy than a 55 grain bullet.
I'll stick with my 308, which is what I know, and I'll stick with my 7.62 by 39, which is what I know.
Well, it's a lot like a 7.62-39. It's real similar. It's the 7.62-39 just a little bit fatter than the brass, so it holds like 2 grains more powder.
Well, which four-wheeler screwed up here on I-65?
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
I
Lenny,
hear a diesel truck rattling in the background.
Yeah, he's a truck driver too.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I like this new 6.5 Creedmoor that's out. It's a pretty nice long range rifle.
A 336?
No, 6.5 Creedmoor.
Oh, okay.
But it's a lot real similar to a 308, except they neck it down to a 6.5 millimeter bullet.
Okay.
So it starts performing after 500 yards. It starts performing better than the 308.
Yeah, I bought some educational material at China Mart the other day on guns. So I'm starting to learn. I just need to learn a lot more. And that's kind of, I mean, yeah, the Second Amendment is very important to talk about. And, but I, you know, there's a lot of people that need some education. And so I wanted to kind of mix the two, you know, educating people on their liberties and their rights and what they should be, you know, defending. And at the same time, what they should be carrying, you know, especially people like me who don't have anything and needs to know where to start. You know, beginners, you know. We don't have a lot of listeners right now, but in the future we might.
You know, it's like a very, very dear friend of mine who passed back in 2010. His name was Aaron Zellman. He started a group called the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. They'll tell you why you need the firearms. They will not get into a debate as to a 223 versus a 30-06. The NRA is great on ballistics. They will tell you what the bullet drop should be. They'll tell you this. They'll tell you that. But they neglect to tell you why you want the equipment. That's all.
Okay. So the NRA is a good place to go to get education on what to have. Just not why to have it.
Yeah, they'll, you know, you can get, you can go crazy looking at ballistics charts. This shell neck down to this, taking this bullet with this powder charge. I got a lot of friends that do their own handle. They do their own reloading. And it's amazing what you could do with some of this stuff. But the reality of the situation is, how much time do you want to spend on it?
Yeah, see, I don't want to spend a lot of time. I just want to know what I need. You know, most people just need to know what they need for defense, self-defense, and protection. You know, something that's easy to clean, easy to take care of, easy to maintain.
They're all easy to clean.
Easy to fire. You know. Like, what is it, Smith & Wesson? Not everybody. Is that the one that will knock you in the head if you're not careful with it?
It depends on the gun. It depends on the caliber. I mean, you know, you're not going to walk around with a .44 Dirty Harry.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
not everybody can handle
it. I don't want to say you don't need it, but, you know, you were talking about a .22. A .22 would be worthless. I mean, they're fun to shoot. They're great for target practice. You know, if you talk about 22 rifle for certain types of sniper work, you can have a lot of fun with it. But I would not rely on a 22 pistol to defend my life.
Right. It's more like a glorified BB gun?
No. But let's just say that if somebody breaks into your house, I would rather have a 40 caliber handgun and just take the guy out. And that's that.
Right.
You know, you got a lot of these state legislatures. Wisconsin is horrible for this. Somebody breaks into your house with a baseball bat. You can't defend yourself with anything more potent than that baseball bat. Really? Really?
And how do you know?
That kind of nonsense needs to be exposed.
Right.
Why did he break into my house? You want to borrow a cup of sugar? This guy has a felony record longer than my arm. This guy was arrested yesterday for burglary. He made bail, and he's breaking into my house, and he's threatening me?
No. Right, he may only have a baseball bat when he broke in, but if he takes my gun, then he's going to have a gun, and I won't have it.
Thank you. The district attorneys in Wisconsin and the judges that try to enforce that law need to be removed.
I agree.
Sorry, self-defense is self-defense. I see a lot of bubblegum machines ahead of me. Oh, well. I'm sure Alabama Highway Patrol is going to clean this up.
So military-style rifle would be a tactical rifle?
You could take, when I use the term military-style rifle, magazine-fed, self-loading, meaning you pull the bolt back once, and you could shoot the thing single shot until you run out of ammo. I mean,
okay.
when you hear these liberals talk about an assault weapon, there's no such thing as an assault weapon. There are such things as military.
You can use it to assault somebody.
Well, I'll use it to defend myself, but the liberals want to take away my right to do that. Because after all, Mr. Schlockmeister, if we handed in all of our guns to the government, was to protect us from the government. Ballot box? Give me a break. But any type of military-style rifle, which is a magazine-fed, self-loading rifle, meaning you pull the bolt back once, and you can shoot until you're out of ammo. Could be .223, could be .224, could be 7.62x39, which is the Kalashnikov style, 308-30-06. A military-style shotgun. And you can, you know, go to a store and get all kinds of fancy stuff to put on it and tactical slings. But you know, you got to get the Chevy body before you put the 8-cylinder engine in there. You know what I mean? It's that kind of thing.
Right. You can't drive a motor around without a car.
Thank you. You want a tactical sling? Fine. You want these kind of hand grips? Fine. It's more important to learn the weapon and get comfortable with the weapon. Then you'll find things to enhance the weapon.
Right. So let's see. Start out with a shotgun and enhance it to triple-barrel shotgun, triple-barrel double-scope T-seeking shotgun.
Doesn't work that way.
Because I'm still
looking. You want a military style shotgun, which is 7 or 9 rounds in a magazine.
Yeah,
why don't
you just tell them what you really want?
Yeah, I'm still looking
for a double barrel.
Well, I'm still looking for that combination AK-57 Uzi rated as a triple barrel double scope deep seeking shotgun.
I'm sure somebody will make one for you.
But no, yeah.
I understand our friends in Russia say, I think it's Sayaga, S-I-A-G-A. They make a shotgun that's based on an AK-47 frame, a Kalashnikov-style frame. I mean, you can't use 7.62 ammunition in it. It's a 7.62x39 ammunition. You can't use an AK-47-style magazine. But it's the same concept. And that sounds like an interesting thing. I'm just more of a Remington 870 or Mossberg man. It all works. Hopefully you never have to use it. That's the trick.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I am. I do like that one that Joe has that's got the changeable barrel. What do you call that, Joe, that's got the interchangeable barrel on it?
Unfortunately, Joe has walked to go get pizza. He will be back in a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, he just bought a gun. It's a pistol. And basically the top part comes off. It's very simple. It's not like got a lot of mechanism to it. It's like two or three pieces. The top part
comes off. Desert Eagle manufactures that.
Okay.
And Desert Eagle, as a matter of fact, my late friend Aaron Zellman wanted to set me up with them to possibly be a factory rep. Desert Eagle is a 1911 frame. It's manufactured in, I think they're still manufactured in Israel. They're very reliable. You can pull the slide off. You can change the barrel. You can go from 50 caliber handgun ammunition, 45, 40, all the way down to 22. They're not that expensive. I don't think $1,500 is that much money for that kind of gun. It may be less.
He paid about
$800
for it. Maybe.
Got a good deal on it.
Yeah.
They're accurate. They fire dirty. It's simple.
Fire dirty.
Well, if you're in the middle of the desert and you get sand in there, you know, it's going to affect the trajectory of the bullet.
So when you say it fires dirty, that means it fires more accurately in a dirty condition.
No.
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems we had in Vietnam was they set our military up with these poodle shooters called M16s. It had a very, very light round, I think 55 grain.
Okay.
And they did not fire dirty. They did not fire wet. They did not fire muddy. And the Kalashnikov design, AK-47 SKS, they will fire under really bad conditions. And they're accurate enough.
Right, that's what we need, accurate enough.
Enough. We're not sharpshooters. It's a skill you could learn. And by the way, that was a four-car pileup. The police have it taken care of pretty well. Hats off to Kimberly, Alabama police. It's too bad I don't have time to stop at donuts and coffee for those guys. They deserve it. They're protecting and deserving today. A rather nasty accident.
Right.
I-65 is open again. You know, if you want to get into this thing to a point where you're loading your own ammo, you're doing cowboy loads, you're doing custom ammo, that's fine. You know, it's how deep do you want to get into this.
Right.
I'm more concerned about preserving the Second Amendment and why.
Yeah, that's basically what I wanted to do today, was mostly talk about how to preserve our Second Amendment for the average Joe who doesn't want to or doesn't have time to do all the fancy stuff and whatnot and whatever, you know, just kind of help the people like David and I who don't have anything figure out where we should start. Because, you know, a lot of people are waking up, like you said, and we're like, well, we need to start doing something, and we all need to start packing. And even though we don't feel like we need guns, maybe necessarily or whatever, we should still have them to, you know, reinforce our Second Amendment rights, just to say, hey, we're standing up for our life.
Investing in guns and ammo is a good thing, and it's like I said, a military-style shotgun, a military-style rifle, a military-style handgun in 9, 10, or 45 caliber. But the best thing we can do is get people in the House of Representatives who are going to cut off the money to these agencies, especially the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms,
right,
because they were set up originally to collect a tax on certain weapons. And they've expanded into essentially a paramilitary, an unaccountable paramilitary force. It needs to stop. We need to get rid of anybody in the House of Representatives that is pro-gun control or pro this UN handgun treaty. As a matter of fact, I don't know how many listeners you have. I would look up a document that John F. Kennedy signed off on called Freedom from War, State Department document 7277. That's our government's program to disarm us and hand everything over to the United Nations.
Right.
I'd read up on that. I'm sure on votefulany.com, on the link, on the links page, it says gun control. I'm sure there's a link to 7277. I'd read it. All right. All that stuff was written before you guys were born. These people move very, very slowly. They'll write, they'll do something like the Patriot Act, and in 20 years, they'll start using it.
Right.
We need to cut off the money for these agencies. We need to get ordinary people in Congress who are going to stop the growth in government and then cut back the funding to all these agencies at once. Don't touch the entitlements. Cut back the funding to the EPA, OSHA, ATF, all these agencies. And as far as President, Hillary's anti-gun, Sanders is anti-gun, Trump, I'm not sure where he stands. I cannot support a ticket at Johnson and Weld, even though I'm a libertarian. I cannot support that ticket, and I won't. We could tie their hands by taking back the checkbook. And
right.
The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the FBI, and all of these other police state agencies can be cut back to a point of impotence. And they have to be.
Well, yeah, because, you know, we're supposed to be the standing army, and now we have, I mean, every year we turn around, we got more and more agencies being armed, and being armed against us, and we're supposed to be the standing army, and they're arming all these agencies to be standing armies against the people.
The whole idea of the militias. And this is under the link to my little article, Gun Control. The founders of this country said the federal government is not to have a standing army. How do you defend the country against invasion? Very simple. Call out the militia. That's every man with a weapon in every state, and the militias are under the control of the states. The federal government is responsible for training the officers of these militias and uniformity of command. This way, a militia in Oregon follows the same orders as a militia in Wisconsin. Okay? So the combined force of the state militias will always be more than what the federal government could throw out there. So the next question is, what happens in a state if the militia decides to go after the people, if you have a crooked governor, and he uses the militia to go after the people? And by the way, the militia is not the National Guard. That is another scam.
Yeah, the militia is the people.
What? That's right, the unorganized militia. The National Guard, well, I don't know if we got enough time to go into that story, but if a state militia is used against the people, the Founding Fathers said that the militia needs to be well-regulated. A well-regulated militia is well-controlled. The way to control a militia is by arming the citizens, because the combined force of all of the citizens in a state will be more than whatever a state militia can throw at the citizens.
Right.
One of the reasons that this government has brought in all of these illegal aliens, 2 years ago, you had all of these Central and South American kids hitchhiking rides on railroads and coming into El Paso.
Okay.
I didn't see any women. I didn't see any elderly. I didn't see any small kids. I saw a lot of people, 18, 22, 23, 24, who looked like military. The reason they're trying to bring in all of these Syrians, so-called Syrians, is the same reason they were bringing in all of these Latins. In the event of a gun grab or gun confiscation, these people will be used as cannon fodder to grab our guns with UN officers. And this is something that needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
I have not seen any elderly or any women Syrians.
Explain
and
to Kenny.
I think
what he's saying is for $10 an hour, they'll put their life on the line and come and try to take your guns. Even if they get shot and killed, they'll work for $10 an hour and put their life on the line and be perfectly happy for doing that.
Because they can send back their wife and children back home.
Right.
And, you know, these people who are trying to take away our country, take away our liberties and freedoms, merge us into this internationalist, globalist, fascist, United Nations, one world government. They're very clever. But we have got to expose what they're doing. Again, the best exposure is that question, that scrap question. Does that increase the size, the cost, the reach, the power of government? Cannot hide from that. And I fear for this country. I really do.
We're going to hell in a handbasket.
We've been going to hell in a handbasket since 1901 when somebody shot McKinley.
Shot who?
McKinley, President McKinley. President McKinley, in my opinion, was suckered into the Spanish-American War, was suckered into this white man's burden concept, and McKinley said he was a Christian. I think was having some doubts about what he was suckered into. And when he was forced to take Theodore Roosevelt as his vice presidential candidate in 1900, the enemy had their guy, and they figured out a way to assassinate the president. Oh, yeah. It was an anarchist. It was Stiglitz. It was this. It was that. No. This was well-planned. Because I think McKinley had enough brains to realize, avoid costly entanglements. And to this day, nobody really knows why the Maine blew up. But that's when it really started in earnest. And Teddy Roosevelt destroyed our foreign policy. Woodrow Wilson destroyed the country with the Federal Reserve, the income tax, almost got us into this League of Nations nonsense. Harding and Coolidge put a little bit of life into the corpse. Then Franklin, the devil Roosevelt, finished the job. We'd be going to hell in a handbasket a long time. We may just be at the end right now.
You know, some of the people aren't realizing that I've noticed. A lot of people don't realize this, so I'll point it out. I'm sure you know part of this, and that is that the Federal Reserve had a charter from 1913 to 2013. The charter's expired, and it's non-renewable. On top of that note, and what I'm actually getting at is, if you'll notice the new money, all the hundreds are printed in 2009 stamped on, and all the other money, the 5s, the 10s, 20s, and 50s, are printed from like 08. 2013. I have not seen a new bill in the last 6 to 8 months that I've been paying attention that has been printed past 2013. And I think the reason being is because the Federal Reserve is authorizing the print of that money. And if they printed one that said 2014, it wouldn't even be a valid dollar. And like in Europe or wherever else paying attention, they won't accept it for a U.S. dollar because it's been printed by and authorized by the Federal Reserve, which is actually operating in an expired mode, in legal status. So they could be printing up money. Hey, what year is that money today? Oh, it's 08. What about today? It's 11. What about today? It's 13. And they're printing it up every day. But none of it's being printed past 2013 as far as the stamp on it, because it'd be illegal money then in the world's eyes or in Europe's eyes. That's just my opinion. Nobody's pointed that out to me on the Internet. Or nothing. I've just noticed that.
I never thought about that, but thank you. That's the Emperor's New Clothes. Shows somebody something very obvious. Thank you.
Well, looking at the dates on that new money. None of them's past 2013.
So they might still be printing it, but they're still printing it saying 2013.
Yeah, correct.
Interesting.
Correct.
By the way,
you know I'm right.
two things, I think you are right.
I don't think the politicians have caught that. I don't think that Ron Paul or anybody else has noticed that. I mean, they know the Federal Reserve's expired, but they're not realizing, or they're not pointing out to us, hey, this money's not even no good. I mean, it is, but because it's being printed out in 13 or before.
Like the way you said the first time, though, it's not even
good. It's only good because
I mean, it's actually what do you call that money when they fake the money? The phony money, what do you call it?
It's monopoly money. It's all funny money. There's no value behind the money.
Yeah, it's like real estate. It's only worth what people are willing to pay. So the money's only worth what people think it's worth. It's really not worthless. Last time I checked, it was only worth 10 cents on a dollar, and that was like a decade ago.
The
money that they print.
Charlie pointed out a few things to me. You got a lot of people who we never heard of. And there was a fellow who wrote an editorial that wound up in the Pittsburgh newspaper a couple of years ago. His name was John Brown with an E.
Yeah.
And Charlie researched the guy. The guy was a big shot with the Bank of England. Big, big, big shot. And he basically said that they need to create a financial crisis in this country. The politicians need to say that we did everything we could before we went over the fiscal cliff, and then they need to reissue money. And another fear that I have is this North American Union, where they're going to totally marry the economy and the money between Mexico, Canada, and the United States. And at that point, you cannot have a sovereign country unless it has its own money.
Right. So that's when we're going to go to the Ameri.
Well, the Ameri's already ready to go.
That's what Charlie thinks. Of course, if we point out what they're doing, they may have a harder time. Absolutely, positively, no union. I saw a video yesterday, a pro-Trump video, that he is opposed to the North American Union, and that's another reason why he's being attacked by the Republicans and the neocons and everybody else. The North American Union will totally destroy the United States Constitution because we have to, in all of these trade agreements, whether it's NAFTA, CAFTA, GATT, World Trade Organization, Codex Alimentus, TPP, we have to harmonize our laws with those of our trading partners, which means the United States Constitution ceases to exist. And that is treason. And you know what? I don't think there is a statute of limitation for treason. Bill Clinton, George Bush. That is treason, and they know what they did.
Right.
You get Alan Dershowitz to represent you, you get anybody you want. Okay? They pulled some nonsense. I think it was 21 to 22, called Holland versus Missouri, and the Supreme Court refused to hear the case. That was Chief Justice Charles Evan Hughes. It had to be after Taft. Charles Evan Hughes' family got filthy rich after he refused to hear that case. Nobody understands how the Supreme Court works. The law clerks figure out what cases they want the justices to hear. And the Chief Justice can veto any case that comes in. He can't pick a case. So think about what we have sitting at the Supreme Court. The only decent nominee for the Supreme Court in the last 50 years was Bob Bork, who left us a few years ago, Justice Bork. He would have written minority opinions on everything, and the opinion was based on the Constitution. The Supreme Court is supposed to judge a law vis-a-vis the Bill of Rights and not write its own interpretation of a law. That's it. Being lied to. Of course, if you had a good congressman like a Ron Paul, you could stop, take away the Supreme Court's appellate jurisdiction. But it has to be not on a case, but on a matter. So, for example, in 2005, Ron Paul took away the Supreme Court's appellate jurisdiction to any and all matters concerning marriage. And if that information would have gotten out, would have changed this country. The elite had a choice. They could either pull back on the gay marriage thing and the demonstrations, or they could go ahead and people are asking what's going on here. People need to wake up. They've been using the Supreme Court and the executive branch to destroy this country. And it started in earnest in 1900.
Oh, yeah, anyway. The Supreme Court is a big issue right now. They're a big joke.
It's been a big joke for a long time. The problem is a lot of people don't understand what's going on or how it works.
Want to understand. They don't want to bother finding out. It's just too easy to take what they feed over them over the Bluetooth.
Cable.
Agreed.
Yeah. They're ignorant and scared.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit of that.
It's like I said to a friend of mine who's a jazz singer. I said, I'd love to go home and just listen to Sonny Rollins records all day. Can't do it. I can't do that with a clear conscience. I got to stay in the fight. You got a lot of people in the so-called patriot movement. It's about money. I have never asked anybody for money. I've never asked anybody to help finance a campaign. You don't need any money. But you've got to get out there and ask that question. Does that increase the size, the cost, the reach, the power of the government? I've been thrown out of truck stops for asking that question. I've been thrown out of restaurants for asking that question. Okay?
What was the question?
The average... Does that increase the size, the cost? Does it extend the reach or the power of the government? Reach is the government does something in the future that it didn't do in the past. For example, healthcare, perfect example. Education, energy. They come up with these excuses to get jurisdiction over this area. They come up with these phony crises. And the best one was the energy crisis of the 70s. And if somebody could ever get a hold of Wall Street journals that were printed during the energy crisis of the early 70s, right after the Yom Kippur War. Again, you guys weren't born. I was. Oh, wait a minute, Kano. Yeah, you're about that age. But, you know, what do you know? You will see that the petroleum stocks went up. I don't mean the price of Exxon went up. I mean, the amount of oil we had on hand went up. It was Nixon and Kissinger that crimped the pipeline to get an agenda passed. EPA, Department of Energy, et cetera. We've got to get the government out of all of this nonsense. This way, the little red children cannot play with us anymore.
The little what?
The little red children.
What's that mean?
Red communists. Communists.
Oh, gotcha.
And I don't mean the little red children in Russia or Bulgaria. I'm talking right here. Harvard, Yale, Princeton.
Yep.
I don't think Trump went to an Ivy League school, did he? Hillary did.
Wait, Hillary went to the same school Obama did, didn't she?
Hillary... did her master's in Yale. She went to Holyoke, which at one time was, I guess it still is a good school. But the thing that kind of made Hillary famous was she was valedictorian of her class, and she gave a speech at graduation, and there was a gentleman, the senator from Massachusetts, his name was Edward Brooke. He was the first senator in the United States of color. He was a moderate Republican. I mean, he was not a Barry Goldwater. but it was probably better than 9/10 of what's in there now as Republicans. And for no reason, Hillary Clinton just cut this poor guy apart who didn't even know what was going on.
Right.
And that probably was set up by the extreme left to see how far she would go. If she wants to be a rock and roll star, so to speak. God help us if this woman gets elected president.
Did you know?
And I.
Go ahead. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
And I think that's another reason, you know, 4 years ago, the Libertarian Party, who I support, I'd rather support a party that has morals, ethics, that has a message, even if it can't win, has a definite idea, then support a party that is going to be used. 4 years ago when Gary Johnson ran for president, he couldn't get on TV. He couldn't get on Meet the Distress, Meet the Press, the Sunday morning vomit shows, as I call them. He's on right now. There's a reason. Because these people, Rockefeller Rothschild crowd, are going to use the Libertarian Party to take votes away from Trump. And maybe
absolutely.
Trump is the real thing. I don't know. But that's how I'm reading it. And we're going to have some interesting things go on in Tennessee with the Libertarian Party, which I'm not allowed to mention. But it's going to get straightened out. The party of principle, that's what I wanted to say. I'd rather stand with my principles than beat today's media hero.
Right.
Hey, I got something else I wanted to mention.
Okay.
Bill Clinton is a descendant of the Rothschilds, so that tells you a lot about Hillary's situation. And Donald Trump is being backed in the background. From my understanding, the research is he's being brought forth by the Knights Templar. So basically, it's the Roman Empire backing Hillary and Bernie Sanders and Cruz and Kasich and Donald Trump, to my understanding, is in his background behind him, kind of backing him up, is the Knights Templar, which is supposed to be a realistic Christian organization, from my understanding.
We're going a little far out, but I just got finished reading a book. A lot of it was interesting. A lot of it I know. It's called Rule by Secrecy, Jim Mars. And I called up a friend of mine whose books were quoted in this book. His name's Ralph Epperson. I like Ralph. Ralph does a lot of good research. And I asked him his opinion of Jim Mars, and he said, seems to be a good guy, but he will not discuss the fact that the United States is still under British rule. I said, okay. That is something that right now we can't do anything about. The only thing we can do is show to people the Emperor's New Clothes and what they're doing. Now, with the Knights of Templar, there is quite a bit of writing in this book on that organization, and the way I understand it, before the Crusade started, you had a group of gentlemen that wanted a reason to go to the Middle East. There were 9 of them. And in history, they say the Knights of the Templar were there to protect the pilgrims going to Jerusalem. The reality is this group didn't protect anybody. Supposedly, they were excavating stuff from under Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. And whatever they excavated was enough to shake the religious establishment of the world. Now, I don't know if Trump is being backed by the Knights of Templar. I will tell you this about Bill Clinton. If you look at a picture of Bill Clinton next to Jack Kennedy as a resemblance.
Yeah.
If you look at a picture of Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter as a resemblance.
Yeah.
What does Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter have in common?
They're related. Bloodline.
Oh, no, no, they are. They are related.
Yep.
They are absolutely. The story that I keep hearing, first of all, Mrs. Carter, Jimmy Carter's mother, I'm not going to say anything bad about Lillian Carter, but she raised Jimmy Carter as a single parent. Where was Mr. Carter? Where was Mr. Clinton? I'm not going to say anything bad about Virginia Kelly. I made somebody at Anthony Timber in Malvern, Arkansas, promise. The story that I've heard was they were both sons of Joe Kennedy. Now, you want to research it, take it any way you want. The people in this country are victims of a conspiracy. And if you want to go back to when this thing was really being put together, the 10 largest banking families in the world got together and agreed to accept each other's checks and agreed to lend out 10 times in credit as they had in assets.
Yeah. Right, the Federal
Reserve. Where was the government auditing them? Called Europe the World's Banker by FIS, F-E-I-S. He taught at Princeton University. It's a very important book, but you got to put... You got a fact on page 1, which goes with a fact on page 18. That is a scary book. What do? Get rid of these congressmen. Cut the power of the federal government before it's too late.
The book you're talking about, is it the book? Is that the book that Jekyll and
Richard Jekyll?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Jekyll Island.
Creature from Jekyll Island does not get into what I just said. As a matter of fact, Ed is a friend of Charlie Smith. I've never met Ed. I've never spoken to Ed. Ed Griffin. Ed's done a lot of good work. But for some reason, Freedom Force International doesn't make it with me. Because they're too stupid to ask a question. Does that increase the size, the cost, the reach, and power of government? I don't think Ed Griffin ever read FIS. And FIS... FIS, like Quigley, examined their records. Europe the World's Banker, there were two printings, 1930 Yale University Press, it's going to be kind of pricey, and 1961 paperback. If you could find a copy, it's there in black and white in the first 15 to 20 pages. If these banking families agreed to lend out 10 times in credit as they have in assets, how do you do that? They can, we can't.
Right.
Their checkbooks don't have to balance. Ours balance. We get a bounce check fee. And when I explained this to the guy that runs my local bank in Tennessee, it was, oh, my God. I said, yeah, that ain't you. Bank's a warehouse. You got deposits, and then you got people that want to borrow money. How does the bank lend out 10 times? The fractional reserve banking is not nearly as bad as the central banking. And the central banking was sold to this country as a lender of last resort so that it would not be a run on a bank. That's your Federal Reserve. You had people like, and this guy's not related to the president, Warren Proctor Gould Harding, who was the first director of the Birmingham Fed. He was fed a line of nonsense by Wilson's buddy, Edward Mendelhaus, to support this, and they would satisfy his appetites and ambitions. And most of the useful idiots that supported this in 1910, 1911, 1912 would not agree with the way this thing's been used. But we could discuss this. This is not firearms. It would take a major miracle to straighten out the financial mess. Major.
CES is a good way to start.
I'm sorry, what?
CES is a good way to start, where we create the money out of thin air with our labor. Community exchange.
That sounded like Stewart. Wheat receipts. Stewart. There was a guy that wrote on using wheat receipts to back money. At least you know there's some value behind the money.
Right.
I can't get a guy's name. If you look up wheat receipts, it was a guy in the 30s. Can't think of his name. It's something or other. If you ever get a chance, even though he's right on the bank because he's wrong about the religion, Sheldon Emery was a pastor, probably the 20s, 30s. He wrote something called Billions for the Bankers and Nothing for the People. But he blames the Jews for everything. It's not the Jews. If all the Jews were killed, you'd still have the same problems.
Right.
All right. Sheldon Emery. Stuart Hooks. Somebody look up wheat receipts. I mean, you guys are online. I'm driving. I'm almost at Petro in Buckville. Thank God.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll have to look it up later. My internet is horrible. I used up all my data. I got 3 days till I get my data back.
Well,
but yeah, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to, you know, do this on the podcast so that I can listen to it, you know, refer back to it later, and so can other people. You know, that's the nice thing about having a podcast. It's like a lot of useful information recorded, so we don't got to worry about saying, what did they say? We can just go back and listen and find out.
All right, I'm going to sum up what I said. The Second Amendment is about the people's ability to protect themselves from the government, period. It's not about having a single-shot musket. It's about having today's weapons to handle a problem, if need be. We're not supposed to have a standing army in times of peace.
Right.
And as long as we have the current amount of ignorance in this country, electing the opportunists that keep giving us smaller increases in government, we're toast. The three types of guns that I would recommend owning are a military-style self-loading rifle in either 223, 224, 7.62x39, 308, 30-06, if you could find the ammo. I mean, if you get a good deal on an M1, grab it. A military-style sidearm in 45, 40, or 9mm. If you're going to carry and don't know what you're doing, you're better off with a revolver. 5-shot 38 will do the job. And a military-style shotgun, 7 to 9 rounds in the magazine, pump action.
Pump action.
Yeah. You hold the trigger down and you keep pumping, and you're going to have a lot of lead coming out of that thing. Okay. The best home defense weapon was made illegal by the Roosevelt administration. Called a sawed-off shotgun. Roosevelt put a tax on sawed-off shotguns, submachine guns, and silencers. That's how the National Firearms Act got passed. That's how the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco started taking over firearms. You needed to pay a tax to transfer a submachine gun, a Tommy, a silencer. A lot of people shot in their homes. I remember stories about Lindbergh and Ernest Uday shooting 44 caliber revolvers in Ernest Uday's apartment. I would not want them as neighbors. And I would want even Ernest Uday as a friend. He was a good guy. He was suckered. Udet. You can look him up on. You can look him up online. He's not a Nazi. Got suckered into that. A pilot and an engineer.
They do make one shotgun you're talking about. I can't remember the company's name that's got it. I want to say Henry or somebody's got the patent on it, but it's called a firearm, but it's kind of like a shotgun with an 8.5 or 9.5 inch barrel on it, but it's got a forward pump handle on it, which makes it not a pistol. and it's got one of those forearm, like a stock deal with the Velcro pad on it. So it's kind of like a pistol, but it's not a pistol because it's got a forward grip, so it falls in between the guidelines. But basically it's an 8 or 9 inch shotgun that'll hold 5 to 8 rounds in a magazine that clips in it. And I can't remember the name of it.
I never heard of it, but I will tell you that the way the law is written, any barrel under 19 inches is sawed off. A sawed off shotgun, or what you just described, is probably the best home defense weapon.
But it's not
bed.
It's not classified as a shotgun because it's got a permanent forward assist handle for the pump, and it's not a pistol. Because it's not a pistol because of that. It's not a shotgun because it don't have a stock, a butt stock on it. So it's classified as a firearm. Okay?
All I have to say is if you got a 9.5-inch barrel and you could put 12-gauge shotgun shells, that's a hell of a weapon.
It is.
Now, it's worthless to shoot somebody that's 150 yards away, but we're talking short-range weapon.
25 yards or less. Right.
I'd like to know about it because I will probably buy one.
Yeah, I would want to buy 10 of them because I'm thinking they'd probably want to make up a rule to outlaw it somehow. So if I own 10 of them beforehand, before the ban, then, you know, maybe I could resell them for a little bit more money than I paid for. But right now they're not banned. I think they got a Mossberg receiver on them. But I can't tell you, you know, the name of the gun, okay? But there's videos.
I do not keep up with all of the current events, current affairs. Verlini, it's an Italian company. They make a shotgun that works on the same type of an action as a military-style rifle, an automatic shotgun, self-loading shotgun. Okay, great. Not pump action. It's also about $1,500.
Oh, yeah, this thing's about $1,500. This gun, I'm talking about $1,500 is what it retails for, the high end with all the spring assist and all the stuff on it you can get on it. Probably base is about $1,000 or $1,100 maybe.
Just remember back in the day, a Thompson submachine gun, 75-round magazine, 45 caliber, could be purchased in any hardware store on any corner in the United States of America. It was $75.
Wow.
Which was a lot of money.
It's a lot of gun.
Well, if you ever get a chance and you see the original Scarface, which was produced by Howard Hughes, it has the first appearance on film, George Raft, and Paul Muni. And you wouldn't know who Paul Muni's son is because you're not from New York. His son was Scott Muni. The scene when Paul Muni, Tony Montana, and it's interesting, all of us Jews were playing Italian gangsters. I don't know why. You had some pretty rough Jewish gangsters in those days. Paul Muni's in this pool hall, and he says, okay, guys, I got to spit. He pulls out his Tommy gun, and he shoots it. There's no cordite smoke. There's no primer smoke. There's nothing. And there was no muzzle climb. Those things were very inaccurate. And I don't think it would be a good idea to pull out a Thompson because you got to spit. That's kind of stupid. But it's this Hollywood nonsense. I like Howard Hughes' movies. I like the original Scarface. I do not like the remake of Pacino. But anyway.
What year was that, man?
I think 30, 31, or 32.
Wow. Cool.
Great movie. I mean, if you could find this great, great movie. Howard Hughes did not make crummy movies. But the scene in the pool hall, is hilarious. Every gun I've shot had flame coming out of the muzzle. Every gun I shot has cordite smoke. All right.
Right.
And had kick. So, you know.
And you probably needed headphones in order to shoot them repeatedly.
Yeah.
You may hear them off.
Somebody's getting feedback.
You me?
Probably.
No. I don't know. Maybe.
I'm here, but when I get off the road, when I get into Petra, I'm going to say, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. I hope I gave something to this conversation.
Yeah, hopefully somebody benefits from the podcast besides
well,
us.
You can link to it so you can include it on your website.
Yeah.
Now check out that short-barreled firearm.
Yeah, what's it called again?
I don't really know what they call it. It's called a firearm. It's called a 12-gauge firearm.
12-gauge firearm.
Yeah, with 8.5 or 9.5 inch barrel, I forget. But if you type in 12-gauge firearm and then put in 9.5 or 8.5 inch barrel, you'll probably find it. I'm looking for the video on it, and I can tell you what the video is. Okay, here you go. No NFA, not an SBS. The Black Aces. Well, anyway, but if you type in no NFA, period, not an SBS, which is short barrel shotgun, that'll probably bring the video up. It's 8 minutes and 17 seconds is how long the video is. It's on Legally Armed America. Is the YouTube site.
Kato, could you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Just send me that as a link through my email. Don't put it on my Facebook page.
Okay.
I'll watch it. And, it sounds like a good weapon.
Yeah, and I'm looking to get a deal on a few of them. When I get no extra money, I'd like to buy several of them. But yeah, does the host of the show, does he have your email?
I do, yeah. You can send it to me, and
okay.
I'll send it to him.
Okay, yeah, I'll just send it to you, okay? Anyway, we'll get it to you, okay? Take care. Talk to you later.
Thank you very much, fellas.
Yes, thank you.
No, thank you. And Kano, thank you for all the stuff you've done with me over the years, especially Pretty Neat Trick.
Yeah,
that was Dick Fatherly's swan song. Even though he screwed up two of the lines. Another guy on this.
Screwed up two of the lines.
Yeah, he screwed up a line in there, but that's all right.
That's the
greatest
right.
voiceover guy in the business.
Oh right, yeah. Yeah, I took this free-throwing part out of the video. That's what made it good.
No, and I'm a little amazed that video has never gone viral. Millions and millions. Sometimes I wonder about some of these videos that were posted yesterday. They got a million hits already. If somebody jacked around with the hit counter.
Right. You never know. Pretty Neat Trick. It was doing good for a minute, but I think other people started putting out Pretty Neat Trick videos and ended up burying ours.
That's what they're going to do to control the internet. They're going to make it hard for you to post and hard
yeah.
for people to see your stuff.
Tornet.
And just remember the other thing they're doing with the internet are these commercials where you got to watch 5 seconds of a commercial to see what you want to see.
Right.
That's what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Google does that all the time.
Look up Tornet. T-O-R-net.
T-O-R-N-E-T?
N-E-T.
All right. Well, I did a YouTube search for Pretty Neat Trick, and your Pretty Neat Trick comes up second. Mine's not even showing up at all.
I'd like to know about that Pretty Neat little trick.
Create a problem, offer a solution, puts more and more power in the hands of the government and like-minded people. And that's what they're doing. It's Emperor's New Clothes. It's just something so obvious. You know. I'm not going to say Petro and Buckville is empty, but plenty of parking space.
Yeah. Pretty neat trick. Dick Fatherly, pretty neat trick. All right, here we go.
For 75 years, we've been offered more government and still more government programs as solutions to problems created by the government. That's a pretty neat trick. Conceal the fact that you and your brain trust have created the problem and offer a solution which puts more and more power into your hands and into the hands of like-minded people who follow you into office. 75 years of this, and we're now on the brink of a dictatorship.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
If you're happy with this, I'm not. I'm angry. Remember, you may be a strutting peacock today, but tomorrow you could be a feather duster.
That's probably all
they have. Hey, guys, I'm parked. I got to get something to eat. Thanks.
All right, good night.
Take care. Bye.
You too. Thanks, bye.
Thanks
all
a lot,
right.
Guys.
Thanks much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
No,
all right.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
So, yeah, we need to set up like a paintball course or something somewhere. Hey, we could do it on PNL. I mean, PNS. Or maybe we could do it on that land in Kansas that we need to buy so we don't need to register any of the trailers.
There we go.
I do know a guy over in Kansas who does what do you call it, where you teach people self-defense. He's got self-defense training with weapons like guns and other things. Well, I used to know a guy. I had him in my phone, but I lost all my contacts, so now I don't know a guy. But anyway,
okay.
I had over 1,000 or about 1,000 contacts in my phone, and I lost them all. So now I don't know nobody. But anyway, his name was David also.
David also?
Yeah, David, and David. David, David, and David, David, and David, David, and David, David, and David.
David, 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 and David, David, and David.
Yeah. So, Joe, when are you going to change your name to David?
Yeah, Joe, when are you going to change your name to David? He's just shaking his head, so.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, we're supposed to change our name to Jesus.
Jesus, the only name by which you can be saved.
Right. So
Jesus, his name's Jesus because he wants to be saved.
So yeah, if we go to davidanddavid.com, I've got a page there about us networking within the community about self-defense. Let's see where I have it. So we need to start working on maybe orchestrating that, you know, start orchestrating, you know, the community coming together and...
Well, we can go see what the local karate school downtown, Stockton, see what they're up to.
The local what?
Karate school.
Oh, karate. I'm not talking about necessarily just karate. I'm talking about self-defense as far as defending our country.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know if I can agree with... the interpretation of well-regulated, I heard. But they do need to be well-trained.
Yes. We need to be trained with our hands, our feet, swords, guns, whatever the case may be.
Morally and intellectually and physically.
Exactly. Yeah,
link?
I have it under, I have the link under community, under outreach, and under survivalism.
All right. So, are we going to run Ron Paul this week, or?
Oh, yeah, Ron Paul Revolution! Hang on. I was thinking about that in the beginning, and then I forgot. Yeah. Got to do Ron Paul. Ron Paul, he's our man. Okay, here we go.
Oh,
Monday, June 6th. Late last week, the markets were shocked by a surprisingly bad May jobs report, the worst monthly report in nearly 6 years. The experts expected the U.S. economy to add 160,000 jobs in May, but it turns out only 38,000 jobs were added, and to make matters worse, 13,000 of those 38,000 were government jobs. Adding more government employees is a drain on the economy, not a measure of economic growth. Incredibly, there are more than 102 million people who are either unemployed or are no longer looking for work. Gold reacted to the report quickly and decisively, gaining 2.5% to $1,243 per ounce on Friday. Gold mining stocks also saw significant gains on the day. As recently as late May, there was confident talk about rate increases when the Federal Reserve meets in June. Transcripts of the Federal Reserve's April meeting showed that the central bank was seriously considering a June rate hike. With last week's job report and other bad news, that is increasingly unlikely. In fact, citing the weak May employment numbers, Goldman Sachs is now predicting that there is 0% chance of a rate hike in June. Of course, they also see this as a temporary blip in an otherwise robust economy, predicting a 40% chance of a rate hike in July. I don't mean to rain on Goldman's parade, but there are no miracles between now and July that will propel the economy to where, according to their terms, a rate hike would be appropriate. Many will point to the May employment numbers and the weak economy in general and pin all the blame on President Obama. However, Obama is only part of the problem. The real culprit is an economic philosophy shared by both Republicans and Democrats for many decades. It is a belief in the fantasy of effective central economic planning by the Federal Reserve. It is a belief that a central bank can determine better than the free market what interest rates should be. This belief results in malinvestment, spiraling debt, distorted markets, inflation, bubbles, and finally, economic depression. I was not surprised by the lousy May employment numbers. Actually, I am surprised that so many others were surprised. While the experts have talked about our economic recovery since the crash of 2008, I happen to believe we have been in a recession or even a depression for the past 8 years. The government manipulates the statistics to hide how bad the economy really is until finally a bit of truth leaks out and everyone seems surprised. The people sense something is wrong, but many don't fully understand what it is. They have been told that more government spending will stimulate the economy and bring back jobs, and that more tinkering with interest rates will finally produce ideal economic conditions. But the real problem is that there is a cancer out there, and it needs to be aggressively treated, not handed an aspirin. What we are seeing is an epic failure of the Keynesians, who have tricked so many people into believing that economic interventionism can create a perfect economy. They have mismanaged the economy, and I'm afraid the worst is yet to come. All is not lost. However, I am encouraged that so many people are seeing through government deception and are turning to the study of Austrian economics to understand what is wrong with our current system and how we can rebuild the economy. Reading Mises and Rothbard is the best way to understand what is really wrong with our economy and how it can be fixed. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
I just got to let this repeat because I don't
to
know
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
One more time.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Hasta la vista. Okay, so.
You tried pressing 9 before?
I'm sorry, what?
You tried pressing 9?
9.
All right, something other than 1.
I can't hear you.
Tell me if I got feedback.
You what?
Apparently I got feedback.
Yeah.
Joe dropped me on a speakerphone. We're sitting in his living room.
Put it all in the bottle. Can you hear me, Jamie?
Barely.
Hey there, what's your name on the podcast?
It's
what's
Gina.
Your name on the podcast?
Okay, I got it.
The podcast is called the DD&D Podcast, or David, David, and David.
DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons & Dragons.
We talk about Dungeons and Dragons?
What's that?
I don't know.
Me neither.
Oh, my.
Oh, me, oh, my. I like pie. Oh, me, oh, my.
Somebody's like going away.
Who? Yeah, one of our non-participating listeners.
I think Joe just hung up.
Oh, was that Joe?
That was Joe. Yeah, that was the non-participating loser.
That thing just threw me off. I couldn't handle it. It hurt my
ears. He couldn't stand your singing.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, me too. I heard it too.
Heard what?
Your singing.
Oh. Hey.
So what's that gun that Joe's got? The one that has the interchangeable...
Oh, yeah. He needs to get back online so you can answer that question.
Guns!
I suppose, but can you hear the... Hold on, how much battery I got on this thing? I don't have enough battery. I'd put on a speaker, but... He's asking about your gun, but I don't know how to describe it. And I hate doing conversations like this on a podcast. No, about you not being heard, and so he's asking a question. They can't hear you respond. You can't hear him. I'm the middleman. You got a phone.
Well, give him your phone.
Okay, but then I'll have to unplug my ear. Let's see now.
Well, we're approaching 2 hours, so I'm going to use this as our wrap-up, but I'd like to have him explain his, that one gun.
Yeah, I'll hand him the phone then, because he's having trouble finding it. He can't remember the code.
You'll have to pre-program it for him.
Oh, he got it.
Yo, mama's in the house!
Yeah, what's going on?
Okay. So, to wrap it up, explain some of the things, like that one pistol that you have that's got the interchangeable barrel on it, and some other things that you would suggest people starting out to get and to have.
Well, I think Wyndham Weaponry offers a four-barrel kit that comes in a 223.556, which is one barrel. It's an AR, like the AR-15. Comes in a 7.62.39, like he was talking about. Comes in a 300 blackout, which I was telling you about. It's getting real popular. There's one more caliber. I forgot what it is, but it's a four-barrel set. I think it's like, I don't know, $1,600, maybe $1,800 or something, for a four-barrel gun that shoots four different bullets. That way you have a, you know, if you're in a hard time, so you could, whatever ammo you can get, if you can find any ammo in one of them four barrels, then you've got a gun that'll shoot it now, because it's got a lower assembly trigger that goes with the upper barrel and everything. You can find it in the gun magazines. I think it's offered by Wyndham Weaponry. So, what was your question again?
Say the name of the company again.
That offered that, that firearm that I was talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know. I sent you the web link to YouTube on your account, and it's an 8-minute and 21-second video. So, I'm not sure what to call it, but it's got a, did I say Mossberg receiver, which is the part that removes and puts the shell in the chamber and the firing mechanism. It's got that receiver on it. Did I say Mossberg receiver earlier?
I think so.
Okay. Anyway.
I don't understand most of it, so
well,
that's why.
Did you get a chance to watch the video yet?
No.
You did?
No.
The one you just sent me? The one you just sent or one prior?
The one I sent to your Facebook messenger.
Today?
Yeah, like 30 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, whenever I sent it. 15 minutes ago I sent it to your Facebook messenger.
Oh, no, because I'm on the podcast. But I forwarded it to Lenny already.
Okay, you did forward it to Lenny. Okay, good deal. It's a pretty neat deal, and he wants to buy one. I'd like to purchase sort of several of them. Maybe we can get a good deal by gives her three, and I purchase her three. Anybody else who wants one, maybe we can get a bulk order by 10 of them. Okay.
There you go.
It's a pretty nice self-defense firearm. Okay. But it's not a shotgun, even though it shoots 12-gauge ammunition.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, I'd recommend somebody when you get some firearms going on. I think that four-barrel kit is a nice starter kit, and it's in the gun magazines. I just can't remember. 300 Blackout, 7.62.39, 5.56. And I just don't remember the other caliber it shoots. So it's another popular caliber. I'm not sure which one it is.
Right on. Lenny thought it was a Desert Eagle, or it was manufactured by Desert Eagle.
That firearm that I was talking about that shoots 12-gauge shells?
No, the one that's got the interchangeable barrel that you have, okay, that I like. The one you were showing me the other day with the interchangeable barrel.
Yeah, they all do that, okay? Just about all of the major brands will do that. Glock, Big Sauer, Smith & Wesson, they all have, you can change the slide out on the top and swap the barrel out. Now, not in the 1911 style, which has got a thumb grip like a safety so you can fire it. These are different types of automatic weapons. Those say P226, Sauer P226, 227, 320, 229, 210, 220. They all have interchangeable slides. You can swap the barrels out on the top and change them over in a clip and change it to 22, 9mm, whatever you want to do in the pistol. And Smith & Wesson and Glock and all the major brands have a barrel top slide. It's called the top slide barrels. It all swaps out, and then you put a different clip in the bottom to hold whatever caliber you're shooting.
Okay.
The clips that shoot 40 caliber Smith & Wesson pistol bullets also shoot at 357 SIG, which is basically a 357 Magnum neck down from a 40. So it's just a little bit less than a 357 Magnum, but the cartridge is not so long, so you don't have to have such a big hand to go around the grip. That's why they made that. So kind of in between a 9mm, 9mm plus, and a little bit less than 357 Magnum.
And what kind of rifle takes those kind of shells or bullets as well?
Well, I was just looking online today, and they make carbines with 17.5-inch barrels. It'll take a 40 Smith & Wesson pistol shell. They make 9mm carbines. It'll take 9mm pistol shells in a 16.25-inch rifle barrel. They make 357 SIG. I think they make some 357 Magnum and a little AR carbine. If you've got a revolver, or they make, there's a company called Coonan, C-O-O-N-A-N, C-O-O-N-A-N. They're in Minnesota, and they manufacture a 357 Magnum automatic pistol, and I think a 44 mag, and then the Desert Eagle also makes those in 357 Magnum and 44 Magnum, which now they're called Research something. Magnum Research, I think, brought out the Desert Eagle design. But they, just about every pistol caliber you can think of, they're making an automatic carbine or an automatic rifle to shoot that caliber. One of the better semi-automatic carbine-type rifles, in my opinion, is called the CRISF, C-R-I-S-F, something like that. And the mechanism slides down and around, and so it doesn't give you so much back momentum, and it doesn't, the barrel doesn't rise when you shoot it. But they make them in 9mm. I'm not sure what else they make them in. But I think it's called a CRISF something. It's a kind of a different style gun, but the way it operates very smoothly. And it doesn't have a lot of, like, kick, and it doesn't jump when you pull the trigger as bad, because it kind of, it goes back, and then it rolls in kind of a 9-degree circle and rolls down when it's pulling the cartridge in and out. And the way it's designed, I guess it's pretty reliable, smooth, and it doesn't vibrate in your hand quite so bad because of the way the bullet's extracted out and the new one loads it back in.
Right.
I
cool, cool.
IFF something, but I can't remember the extra details on that. But they make a carbine or a short, you know, 16, 18, 20-inch barrel rifle in just about every pistol caliber you can think of. They even make, they make a .458 Winchester mag in an AR-15 now, which is,
you could take
an elephant or grizzly down with that thing. If you want a big AR automatic
rifle,
and a .458 Win mag, is going to push a 300 to 500 grain bullet, like 2,200 to 2,800 feet per second, and that's a lot of grain of weight, lead weight, to go that fast. I'm going to look to see if I can find that pistol caliber that I'm talking about. That's one of the better automatic, semi-automatic carbines on the market, but I'm going to look up who makes it because I forget their name, the main brand of it, but I'd like to have one.
Yeah, me too.
Chris Vector, KRISSVECTOR, is one of the smoothest pistol rifle rounds, in my opinion. And it looks like they make them even in a pistol version, like 5.5-inch barrel. But I think you can also get, it almost looks like a Star Wars gun, the way it looks. But it's called a Chris Vector. And I think you can get a 16 quarter-inch barrel on it. And they might also make them in a .45 ACP. They might make them in all the pistol rounds, a 9, a 40, a .45 ACP. And it's supposed to be very reliable. I think they did some designing on this for the military to have a more reliable weapon with less kickback and less barrel jump. But and they can run them in full auto, but it's a semi-auto for the civilian version. And I'm not sure how long the barrel is, but I guess you can get it in a pistol barrel, 5.5-inch, and then you should be able to get like a 16 or 17-inch barrel on it also. There's some videos on YouTube about them. But
yeah, I need to start learning.
I've read some reviews, and that is supposed to be, if you like a 9mm auto pistol, I'd recommend getting that in for kind of the semi-rifle carbine version of that caliber. I'd probably get a 40mm myself if they make a small 40 Smith & Wesson, because I'd kind of like to have a 40 barrel for my gun, and then I'd like to be able to shoot some 40. They make some 200 grain 40 caliber pistol rounds that are kind of quiet, but they move pretty good. I think they're about 900 feet per second, and they should have quite a bit of knockdown, especially out to 50 yards, real good. I imagine that Chris Vector, you could probably put your rounds in probably a 2-inch circle at 50 yards. So they shoot a pretty good tight group for a pistol round in a carbine. Well, that's about all I got. Got any other questions?
All right. No. I just wanted to get something for the record so that if anybody wants to listen and learn, they can. And, of course, I listen to the podcasts a lot of times while I'm driving, so it'll help me refresh my memory as well.
There are a couple of those M1 carbines are really nice in a 30 carbine shell, and they make a couple of a revolver, 6-shot revolver, and an 8-inch barrel in that round. And they also made they made 40 years ago a semi-automatic pistol in that round also, but that's typically shot in a 16-inch carbine rifle. It was used in the military, probably in World War I. That round's been along for a long time. It shoots a 110-grain bullet, 30-caliber bullet. The brass and the bullet's about 2.5 inches long, 2 inches long maybe, and out of an 18-inch barrel or so, it'll shoot about 2,200 feet per second. And out of a pistol, 8-inch barrel pistol, it'll shoot about 1,600 feet per second. So they got some pretty good zip. And 110 grain with a little leg point on the end of them. A preview partisan, the ammunition is made in Serbia, and you can buy a 50-round box for about 20 bucks for 50 rounds. That's pretty cheap ammunition. It's not real big, so you could stockpile 1,000 rounds pretty easy.
It's not real big, but it'll do the job.
Absolutely. After 200 yards, it'll shoot anything under 500 pounds. Up to 150, 200 yards, you can shoot 500-pound animal and kill it, as long as you know where you're shooting at and you know
the right part.
How much droppage is on your bullet at 200 yards. You know, shouldn't drop a whole lot. You zeroed in it for 100 yards, it'll probably only drop about 4 or 5 inches at 200 yards. So with rifles into that, okay? And they've made rifles for that cartridge for many, many years. So,
cool.
Matter of fact, I don't know if Chris Vector makes a rifle for that, but I wouldn't mind having a Chris Vector in a 30 carbine shell. That'd be a pretty nice weapon. So,
yeah, I'll have to learn more about all of that.
They make some that shoot 410 shotgun shells. I think they're shoot a 45 long Colt or a 410 pistol shotgun cartridge.
And, a pistol shoots a shotgun cartridge?
Yeah, I think they're called the Jug. I think one of them's called the Ruger Judge. Another one's called a Governor. There's a Governor.
One of those.
And they make they shoot like 45 long Colt or a 410 shotgun shell, and they have about a 6 or 8 inch barrel on them. They're pretty devastating. So
that'd be good to have around if you're going to have a shotgun around.
Well, yeah, I mean 6 or 8 inch barrel with 410 shotgun shell. Then you got I think 5 or 6 rounds you could shoot in a revolver. So pretty good self defense. But I like that one firearm, but I don't know what you call it. Got a Mossberg receiver. I don't know what I said before. I think I called it something different. It's got a Mossberg receiver, had an 8 or 9 barrel on it, and it's called a firearm because it's got a forward spring assist for ejecting the shells. It's got a forearm grip on it. It doesn't really have a butt stock on it. It's a really nice home defense weapon. So,
would a flare gun shoot a shotgun shell?
Well, I don't know if it will start with, but you might be able to modify it and make it shoot one. I've never owned a flare gun before. I'm not sure. You know, maybe you can buy some 10-gauge shells, but I don't know. I've never owned one. You wouldn't want to put a heavy magnum load in it, though. I know that because it'd probably blow it apart, because I don't think a flare gun has as much impact on it as a high-powered shotgun shell. So you'd want to shoot low-velocity shotgun shells for, like, birds, you know, like quail load, rabbit load, or something like that. So you could shoot bigger pieces.
Might be a one-shot deal.
Do what?
Said it might be a one-shot deal.
Yeah, it could blow up in your face. Yeah.
So, emergency purposes only.
Correct.
Right on.
Looks like those Chris Vector guns, there is one listed for $446.
$446?
Well, that's not right. I'm seeing 1300. I don't know. Looks like they're more than that. They may be like $1,300, $1,400 for them. I don't know. I've never looked at one buying one. Chris is, let's see, looks like the headquarters is in California, possibly.
Okay.
Chris Vector. Chris-USA.com for that particular company. And that is a really neat gun. It looks like a Star Wars gun.
Star Wars. I want a lightsaber.
Yeah. Well, I think you can put your flashlight on the end of that, and once you get a real bright one, and once you turn it on, it'll look like a lightsaber. Well, then it'll fire away.
All righty. All right, well then, we're over 2 hours now, so we'll go ahead and wrap this up.
Yay.
So you can find us next week or every week at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. You can find the phone number that you can call in to find. You can find our podcast at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. And the phone number to call in every Sunday at 7 with the extension.
Yep.
Where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And Flat Earth. We won't talk about Flat Earth either.
It doesn't exist.
According to JD, we'll talk about everything but Flat Earth.
According to JC, it does not exist.
JD. I forgot his name now. Jerry. Jerry complained because he says that we poo-pooed his flat earth theory. I told him, I says, I don't got a problem talking about it. Just don't get mad when other people don't agree with you.
Right.
Yeah. What, you believe in that crap?
Yeah. Basically, he was talking about Flat Earth, and David Irish was like, well, what does it all mean? And he goes, well, what do you mean, what does it all mean? He goes, well, how does it affect us? I mean, are we like in a Petri dish or something? And he goes, what do you mean by a Petri dish? And then I said, well, it would make sense if we were in a Petri dish being studied by aliens. And then he said, well, yeah, if you believe in that crap. And then he got off the phone. So he didn't, he wanted a one-sided conversation, basically.
One-sided
kind of
guy.
He didn't want anybody else's input.
But, I mean, we have no problems discussing it as long as it's an open discussion, not a one-way conversation.
Oh, is that why we don't talk about DD&D?
Well, D&D is...
No, we don't talk about... Dungeons and Dragons. There we go.
Well, that would be a one-sided conversation because I don't know nothing about it.
Right. You ask me questions.
I know nothing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you'd be asking me questions, and I'd be talking for the next hour.
Yeah, I know about maybe one-tenth of 100%.
I know.
Or whatever. I know about as much as what Jeff claims I get out of the project, which is nothing.
Yeah, you don't even get a full percentage. You get 0.4%.
0.4%.
And for that, he expects you to bow down and grovel at his feet?
Right.
Quite frankly, I don't care if he gave me 400% of whatever's found there.
How can you get 400% of what's found there?
Well, it doesn't matter how much of a percentage you get of nothing. It's still nothing.
True. But you can't get 400. Well, yeah, 400% of nothing is, yeah, 400 times zero is still zero.
I don't know about that. Depends on if there's any decimals involved.
Right.
0.001.
How many decimals in zero? Zero.
Now, wait a minute. There could be 0.001 behind that, see?
Zero is zero.
Cool.
Okay. So, till next time at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
Yay.
I got to get up early. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, bye.
All right, party on. Bye.
That's it.
Blink.
I think he forgot to shut off the recording.
Well, let's just keep it going for a while. You'll have to cut and edit like, what do you want to talk about, Dave?
I hung up. I was the last ad.
Oh, what about me?
It'll be interesting to see if it's still going on.
Well, I don't know. I'm still here. I'm still talking. It is 9:13, and this is the JC show now. Podcast is starting. What are we discussing? I don't know. I guess you can edit this later. Talk to you later. JC out. Bye.